Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: the Illinois Education Association, Visit Springfield, and PyOrg.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, we're getting to crunch time for state lawmakers to put together a new budget, just about 3 weeks remaining in the session, and there are a lot of moving parts. We'll discuss where things stand when it comes to those fiscal decisions. And Chicago's mayor made an appearance at the Illinois Capitol this week. We'll discuss that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, professor emeritus and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week is Ben Zielinski, a reporter with Capitol News Illinois. Ben, it's always good to have you back with us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
So, Ben, we'll start with you. I assume we will have a state budget on time the end of this month is when lawmakers are set to adjourn, wrap up their spring session. Democrats, of course, can push pretty much anything through without Republican votes. But like most years, I guess this budget still a bit of a work in progress.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think we're hearing a lot of different opinions from lawmakers that's really making this feel like it's still a work in progress here in the final weeks of session. We have those factions of Democrats coming out again, some who are a little bit more aligned with Governor Pritzker on his more conservative budget proposal that didn't really include hardly any new tax increases. And then there's other groups of progressive Democrats who want $4 billion in new tax increases. So, those are, I think, the things that we're trying to iron out here. And that's always kind of what causes this late May, late session drama that has, made us a little bit nervous in those final days of session the last couple of years, where we're never truly sure that Democrats are going to be ready to pass a budget up until we actually see that budget agreement.
Well, I guess one of the things that's been a little surprising to a lot of people is that the revenues have stayed relatively strong for the state going into this time of the year. I think there are a lot of people who wondered, with tariffs and with other concerns about the economy, where things stand. But it looks as though the state's revenue projections are actually stronger than what they originally were.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when this current year budget was passed last May, I mean, the big question was, what's actually going to happen with the economy? Because tariffs was still, a big wild card. It was changing every day. And no one was, I think, really sure, how strong the economy would be by this point here in 2026, if we would have seen an economic downturn by now. But we're not seeing that. I mean, the state just recorded its second highest revenue month on record. And I think the highest month on record when you discount federal pandemic aid. So, I guess it's a strong indication that, people are still employed. They're still making their income. Sales tax remains up, I think, 4% overall this year, which is certainly a sign that the economy remains in a decently strong position as consumers are spending. So, I guess for all the noise and everything that's happening in the world, I mean, the state's tax collections really haven't been inhibited that much by some of this stuff. But we've seen corporate tax revenues decline a lot this year for a number of reasons. One reason is federal tax code changes, which lowered corporate taxes in a lot of ways. So that has trickled down to the state, because the state's tax code is also tied to the federal code in a number of ways too. So, I would say there's kind of a mixed bag on it too. Lawmakers aren't jumping for joy over this. Even some Democrats, who we talk to, are being very cautious with this revenue report. They're really looking at it as, okay, this is great. It gives us some flexibility and some certainty, at least over our projections, but, it's not giving us, a mountain of cash that we can go play with here and spend on new programs and whatnot.
Yeah, Charlie, this is, for lack of a better term, I guess it's not time to push the panic button. But I think fiscal restraint still makes a lot of sense here. Or, would you see it that way?
Yeah, I think that's really true. And as a matter of fact, there was sort of a corollary when the report came out from the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, which is basically the budget guru for the legislature. It noted that there was not an April surprise as we've seen in past years, where there was a sudden uptick higher than what was projected because of income tax returns coming in the month of April, which of course is when they're due. And so the projections are going to remain the same as they've been for several months now. And they basically, they say that we're in pretty decent shape, but we should not, what would you say, we should not get cocky and start spending all this new money, because who knows what's going to come down the pike. And one of the things that I think is pending is changes in the Medicaid program that may put Illinois in the position of having to come up with additional dollars to support healthcare for poor folks. But anyway, we're still in decent shape. The progressives are still going to argue that we should be taxing the rich people and we should bring in more money. I think, Ben, you said that this tax alliance are talking about $4 billion in new revenue.
Yeah, that's right. $4 billion from corporations and eliminating some tax credits that are pretty popular in the state as well.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. For one thing, in an election year, it's always easier to say, no, I voted against all these new tax increases than it is to try and defend them, particularly when the economy is growing. Now, the economy is not growing at a great pace. As you mentioned, Ben, the corporate tax receipts are down, largely due to the changes in federal law, because a lot of our tax code for corporations draws on what the federal rules and regs are. But otherwise, the individual income taxes were good. The sales tax is up, not as high as you'd like to see, but still decent. So I think, you know, the bottom line is we're in pretty good shape, but we can't go out and start spending like crazy because there's still a lot of uncertainty in the future.
Yeah, Ben, I guess also when I have talked to people here over the last several weeks, people, you know, before were complaining about high food prices. Going to the grocery store was so expensive. Now I'm hearing about high fuel prices, and rightly so. The price of gas has really gone up. Doesn't that, I mean, even though maybe the reports we're seeing aren't that bad right now, but doesn't this portend a possibility of more pain down the road, and that could really start to push us toward maybe a recession? Who knows? If things don't improve sometime soon, is that being discussed as well?
Yeah, I think that's the big unknown for lawmakers right now is, you know, really how this period of high gas prices is going to affect the economy overall and what it even means for state revenues. You know, we have a gas tax that, you know, if drivers were to cut back on how much they're spending on gas, the state could receive less money on that. But, you know, I think a lot of it's going to come down to those consumer decisions. But, you know, where else do consumers potentially cut back? Because gas is kind of a necessity. They could cut back on other areas of discretionary spending, though, which could ultimately hurt our sales tax revenue, of course. So I think that's, you know, that's the big unknown right now for state lawmakers trying to figure out this budget. I don't know how they can really kind of plan for this, because, you know, this gas price situation seems to evolve every single day in the Middle East, but we've only seen the gas prices go up here this week too, which I think is probably straining consumers more. So I think it'll be interesting to see if they do anything to potentially help consumers through maybe a gas tax freeze or something. But that would be super minimal relief. I think the gas tax is only going up about 1 cent on July 1st. So, you know, that'll save you 10 cents maybe when you fill up your car or so. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be a challenging situation for lawmakers trying to navigate this. And, you know, I think they're going to kind of take the same approach they did last year, which is they're going to pass a budget based on the information they have now and kind of take the blows and see where the wind takes it, you know, later in the year.
You're listening to State Week.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.
We're back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Ben Zielinski of Capital News Illinois and Charlie Wheeler. Charlie, let me ask you, from what you've seen of Governor J.B. Pritzker through the years and his decisions on fiscal matters, could you see him basically, you know, taking the brakes off a little bit here and saying, yeah, maybe let's put more money to this, put more money to that, because we may have it to spend? Or do you think he's going to be pretty cautious?
I think he'll probably continue to be pretty cautious. There is more money going to certain things. We're going to increase funding for K-12 education to in line with the evidence-based funding formula that was enacted, I guess a dozen or so years ago, to try and give local school districts the resources they need to succeed. I think there'll probably be slight increases for higher ed. There'll be increases in our pension payments. So there are some things that are kind of baked in. But in terms of some of the more optional things where people would, the good causes in which people would like to invest more, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. There's just not enough certainty going forward. And the governor prides himself, and rightly so, on having, I guess for want of a better term, kind of rescued the Illinois economy and Illinois budgetary system so that we've had credit upgrades after being after the budget impasse under Bruce Rauner. We were almost at junk status, and now we're improving, and he's very proud of that and the fact that we've had these balanced budgets. And I think he's going to be very careful and not put a lot of extra money in there when there's all this uncertainty going forward. And we still don't know what's going to happen at the federal level. The Trump administration might decide that, well, we don't like Pritzker, so we're not going to send any more money for transportation projects in Illinois or for healthcare. For want of a better term, the uncertainty at the federal level really makes it difficult. So we're better off waiting and seeing rather than putting money in and hoping for the best.
So, Ben, we have, as we mentioned, about 3 weeks here trying to get this budget together. We talked about education there. What else? Is there anything that you're watching really closely that could be changed dramatically from what the governor had earlier talked about or what has been talked about so far? Anything that really is standing out to you right now?
No, not in particular. I think, you know, lawmakers are generally going to follow the framework that the governor handed to them. I think one area you could see maybe some spending increases is the legislature gets a little bit more aggressive on social services that are being cut at the federal level. You know, we're really just one more budget year away from having to make some very seriously challenging decisions here in the state as, you know, federal social service spending either gets passed down to states or cut entirely, leaving states like Illinois having to make a decision about continuing some of those services. So I wouldn't be surprised to see lawmakers try and plan for some of these future challenges that are coming our way. But I think generally on the spending front, it's going to be a pretty maintenance budget this year where we're not going to see a massive spending increase. I mean, the governor's introduced proposal was a 0.5% spending increase outside of the core areas of healthcare, education, and pensions, which are governed under some other existing laws. So I don't think you're going to see anything dramatic there. On the revenue front, I think it's probably going to be a generally limited increase as well. I don't know exactly what sort of tax increases or other sources of revenue that could be coming our way. I think you'll probably see maybe a mix of what the governor proposed as well as some other ideas. You know, the digital advertising tax is very popular with a lot of progressives in the General Assembly. It would certainly net several hundred million dollars for the state budget. And I think the governor is generally supportive of that idea as well. It almost made it in the budget last year too. So, you know, I think if there's going to be anything big and crazy new on the revenue front, it would be something like that. I don't really see a lot of these ideas that some progressives have thrown around about taxing billionaire assets or various other things that would net quite a bit of money for the state. I don't really see those being part of any sort of major revenue plan.
And Charlie, you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I think one area that may have potential for exceeding what the governor wants to do is the whole question of how large a share of income tax collections, of state income tax collections, should be sent back to municipalities under the local government distributive fund. It provides for a share of state income tax revenues to be sent out to all the municipalities in the state. Now, the governor proposed in his budget reducing the share that municipalities would get from 6.47% to 6.28%. And the municipalities are arguing that this is going to really hurt their ability to provide services to their residents, and that they should argue to get the dollar amount restored. The amount of dollars is somewhere, I believe, roughly $60 million involved with that change. And the governor's office says, yeah, the percentage is changing, but because the total income tax collections against which the smaller have risen, against which the smaller percentage is applied, you'll still get the same amount of dollars next year as you're getting this year. So it's really not a cut. So I think that's one of the areas. As a matter of fact, when Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and a whole bunch of suburban mayors were here earlier this week lobbying, that was one of the big things they wanted, was to get the, I guess from their point of view, they wanted to be the percentage to be held harmless so that they would get extra dollars. That could be a point of contention.
You're listening to State Week.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.
We're back on State Week. And Ben, let me ask you, because Charlie was talking about municipalities and the mayor of the largest one in the state was at the Capitol this week. That's Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago. What was his visit all about?
Yeah, primarily what Charlie was talking about there was increasing funding for local governments through this local government distributive fund. You know, this has been an ongoing project for mayors around Illinois for the last 15 years now. They're calling on lawmakers to allow the local governments to receive 10% of these income tax revenues. You know, lately that portion has hovered between 6% and 7%. And, you know, as Charlie was saying, the mayors say this provides a big strain on their local governments, that they could provide a lot more and better services if they had this money. So that was the primary purpose of the mayor's visit, was to join this chorus of other mayors, you know, in calling for this. I think it was a interesting kind of political change for Mayor Johnson in a way, you know, who has generally come to Springfield on his own, talking about Chicago priorities, you know, during his tenure. This year he's coming and he was teaming up with other mayors, which I think helps build his credibility with lawmakers in an interesting way. But, you know, he was also here talking about other priorities for the city of Chicago. He wants greater taxing authority for the city to implement, you know, taxes on the number of employees that large businesses have, implement a delivery tax, the digital advertising tax that I mentioned that the state could consider. The mayor wants power to implement that in the city as well. And of course, the Bears were on his agenda. He's, you know, really hoping for some sort of last minute miracle save, I think, to keep the Bears in the city. So it was certainly a full agenda for Mayor Johnson in his 3-day visit to Springfield this week, too.
Charlie, when it comes to mayors of Chicago, and you have covered several of those, especially as they've come to Springfield through the years, they always bring clout with them. I mean, they are the mayor of the largest city in the state, and that's a lot of clout. But Brandon Johnson seems to have less of that. Maybe it's due to, you know, his popularity. His polling shows not that high. But is that a fair assessment of him?
It was interesting because we were talking about the local government distributed fund, and once upon a time it was 10%. And I got thinking back when Richard Ogilvie, the Republican governor, proposed an income tax Richard J. Daley, the Chicago mayor, put votes on it to pass it, but his price was that local governments would get a slice of the tax revenue. So that was the deal that was worked out, what, 50-some years ago. But Mayor Daley had, certainly in my experience, had unprecedented power as a Chicago mayor. And the dynamics have changed. The demographics have changed. Back then, and that's when I first started covering the legislature, was in the early 70s, the Democratic Party was composed largely of people from Chicago. There were not that many suburban Democrats. There were some downstate Democrats, but basically the Chicagoans called the shots. And Daley was the number one guy, obviously. And now, if you look at it, I don't know the exact numbers, but my guess is that there are more suburban Democratic members in the legislative caucuses than there are members from Chicago. And so that makes a big difference. And the fact that, for want of a better term, somewhere like Lake County or somewhere like DuPage County has quite a few Democratic lawmakers compared to back in the day, that also changes the dynamic. The Chicago mayor can't just call the shots anymore. And that's been declining. Probably the last Chicago mayor who had any clout at all would have been Richie Daley, the original Daley, his son. But even he couldn't wield the kind of authority and the power that his father did. So that's just a changing time. I don't think the labor support is there that used to be given for Chicago mayors. There's certainly not the patronage jobs that used to be there. So, as I say, it's just a whole different ballgame.
So, Ben, just real quickly, Johnson, he came down and talked about all this stuff, but at the end of the day, is it going to have much impact on whatever the final decisions are?
I would say no. Brandon Johnson's not the most popular man in Springfield. I think he has built better relationships over the last few years. Lawmakers are in some ways more interested in his opinion than I think they were, 3 years ago. But, at the end of the day, I think the mayor is kind of like a lot of those progressives in the General Assembly. He has a loud voice. We know where he stands on some of these things, but I don't think that the majority of folks in Springfield quite align with his vision on a number of these things. He came down asking for these progressive revenue ideas that we already discussed are probably very unlikely to be included in the budget, or, certainly let alone giving the city of Chicago authority to enact it on their own. I would say overall, it's pretty unlikely that, anything that Brandon Johnson came to Springfield for is going to be included. Maybe that LGDF increase will be part of it. There's other mayors who want it. I think a lot of folks in the General Assembly might be interested in increasing that percentage a little bit, certainly not to 10%, but a few percentage points to net a few more million dollars. But, and then as far as the Bears thing, I think the mayor has already lost that issue a very long time ago.
Well, just about a minute left here. Ben, I'll just ask you about this, something that I've been watching for a while. Earlier in the year, there was a lot of discussion about that Democrats might be open to tweaking what's known as the Safety Act and the cashless bail system the state now has. Republicans want to see it gone, but even some supporters say there could be some changes to tighten things up. Are we going to see that happen?
I would say it's pretty unlikely. I talked to a few folks here as the Safety Act is back in the news after the murder of a Chicago police officer, but, there's certainly maybe some changes that could be looked at, some tweaks, but I would not expect anything major. I don't know of anything that's truly being considered right now. I think, lawmakers like to take a look at these situations and see, all the facts and circumstances of this case. And I think some of that comes out more in the courtroom over time as maybe this murder trial will play out rather than, just weeks after the murder happened.
Well, it's time now for our notes from the field. And Charlie, we'll go to you this week first.
Well, this past week, a House committee, the Transportation Vehicles and Safety Committee advanced legislation without any opposing votes, it was 10 to nothing in the committee, that would establish a regulatory framework for electric bicycles, motorcycles, and scooters. That's coming in response to the growing popularity of these devices and the safety concerns they have raised. Now, this is an initiative of Illinois Secretary of State Alexei Janulis, and he told lawmakers earlier it's intended to combat a rise in injury and deaths from the devices, as well as to create a framework for Illinois law enforcement. Under the legislation, riders capable of traveling more than 28 miles per hour, and apparently some of these e-bikes can go as high as 50 miles an hour, they'd be required to have a driver's license, get a title for them, register them, and have insurance. So this is a bill that I am pretty sure will be signed into law in the near future. As I say, it had no opposition in the House committee, and it passed the Senate 54 to zip last month. So this is something people who are concerned about getting, walking through the park and getting nailed by one of these e-bikes coming along may have some refuge, so to speak.
All right. And Ben?
The Illinois State University staff, they've been on strike for about a month now. And just this week, they finally reached an agreement with the university over a new contract. This got a lot of headlines because conditions on campus certainly deteriorated as building staff were not present and dining services were also severely limited. But the union came out pretty well with a lot of what they had asked for in their proposal. They're going to get an immediate lump sum payment of $1,500, as well as an immediate 3.5% wage increase. Then that's going to follow with another 3% annual raise on July 1st every year. But that also means they're going to get a 3% raise here in just about 2 months on July 1st as well. So certainly a lot of money coming their way for members of that union. It got a lot of attention here in the State House in Springfield. Lawmakers got pretty frustrated with the lack of progress and the lack of negotiation happening with university officials. The ISU president got a big grilling from lawmakers in the Senate Appropriations Committee. Even Republican candidate for governor Darren Bailey came out and was, you know, picketing with ISU workers, saying that the university needs to get back to the table. Governor Pritzker was certainly upset about the alleged hiring of strike breakers at ISU to replace these workers who were on strike. So got a lot of attention, but it seems the situation has been resolved with a new five-year contract.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Capital News Illinois' Ben Zielinski. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford, and join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.